grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They say that nothing good happens after 10 p.m. at night. Of course, it's not entirely true. But if you go on to Trulia, the online residential real estate site, they've compiled a bunch of charts of various types of crime and what time of day they occur. Assaults regularly happen at all hours of the day, except from 3 to 5 a.m. in the morning. That's probably why most people are asleep during that time, so less assaults can take place. Robberies had peak reporting at 5 p.m., probably because that's when everybody gets home from work and notices their stuff has been stolen. Gun violence, however, tends to result in the wee hours of the day. It spikes just after midnight in most cities. Ergo, asleep by 10 p.m. is perhaps the best way not to get shot in North America. But if you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Portland, Oregon, or Chicago, Illinois, or Vegas, looks like your best bet for bedtime is 6 p.m. In the early to mid-1800s, the phrase witching hour came to be and referred to the hour of 3 to 4 a.m. in the morning. It was considered a peak hour of supernatural activity due to the absence of prayers at the canonical hours during that period of the day. Women caught outside at this hour without sufficient reason could be executed on sight on suspicion of witchcraft. Men, on the other hand, just had to pee. While bad weather can happen any time, day or night, thunderstorms over land tend to form when the surface air is the warmest between 2 and 4 p.m., but over the ocean or over a large mass of water, it's most likely to occur in the early hours of the morning before dawn. This is the time of day when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee, probably from evening, as it says, all the way till 6 a.m. in the morning in those hours. This is when the wind was against them and they were making their headway painfully. We saw what happened recently to the duck boat in Branson, Missouri, where 17 people died, 9 people from the same family from Indianapolis, and that wasn't even the witching hour. The disciples had plenty of reason to fear as they fought the storm in the fourth watch of the night. It was then that something good happened, so much for the phrase that nothing good happens after 10 p.m. Our Lord Jesus saw his disciples from the shore, and come hell or high water, he wasn't going to let them drown. Having just come down the mountain of prayer, having just fed the 5,000, it was time for Jesus to rescue his church from the threatening perils of the sea. Our Lord Jesus is not superstitious about the witching hour. The day and night both belong to him. It was not too much or too little for him to take a step in faith and on foot to walk across the surface of the sea. For not only was the Lord with him, but he was with God in the beginning when the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. He who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and even put Moses in between the rocks in order to pass him by, showing him his glory, was about to pass by his disciples walking on the sea. But seeing Jesus on the water during the witching hour, the fourth watch of the night, when melatonin is at its highest, instead of praising Jesus, they cried out, "Phantasma! It's a ghost." My grandma, an acute observer of the human condition, would have asked, "Did they have on clean underwear?" And the text says they were terrified. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, calming fears. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got in the boat with them. God has come in the flesh to get into our sinking ship. We are weighed down with sin, with death, with the fear of the unknown, and waves of false doctrine about who God is and what he does for you. Our Father knows us. Our Lord Jesus cares for you. He doesn't give us ghost stories around a fire to stress our inner being. He gives us an incarnate Jesus who walks on water, who calms the storm with the word, who rises early in the morning on the third day after being crucified for us and for our salvation, who delivers us from evil. The disciples were utterly astounded. Somehow the feeding of the 5,000 hadn't sunk in. The miraculous healings were apparently insufficient evidence. Yet the inspired gospel writer put it this way: their hearts were hardened. How many people today have hardened hearts to the miracles of Jesus? How many fear ghosts more than fear, love, and trust in God, because hearts are hardened to the truth of God and his revealing through the Son? How many trust in their technology more than they trust the word of truth? Titanic, anyone? Duck boat tour, anybody? The truth is, we must live in a world that is always at risk to the elements and subject to crime day or night. Assaults, robberies, gun violence, just ask Trulia. Thank God, then, that Jesus gives us an answer to our fears and our faults. It is not you who can save yourself. It is not you who can live sin-free. It is not you who can calm storms or walk on water. It is I, Jesus said. Do not be afraid. Take heart and believe in your hearts that I am he, says Jesus. He who is and was and is to come, the living one. I will rescue you from eternal death so that you can behold the new creation where there is no crime, no storm, no tears. As Jesus is risen, so too shall we rise and live safe in the ark of his presence. As our epistle reading rightly praised him, so will we as we end today's teaching. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus.